Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Get with us. It's a good Wednesday. 24 hours to go until the NFL draft. I think this is day 16 of Phoenix held in hostage by Robert Sarver. I guess I could put that. What do we go? May 10th. Jordan is in today for Eric. May 10th of 2010 to today. Someone out there will get this to us. If they were to do the math, what are the number of days from May 27th, 2010, Jordan, to where we are today that we've been held hostage by Robert Sarver putting out an inferior product on the basketball court?
It's been a long time.
So it's been a long time.
That's journalist math.
All right, so 7 times 365 plus, what would that be? No, it will be 8 years in next month. It'll be 8 years next month. So if we were to go through the math of Robert Sarver has held us hostage, putting out a crap product and tripling his investment, and he can't find a coach, that would be...
This is a very rough estimate.
2,500 days?
2,890 days. That's a rough estimate.
2,890 days, give or take a day or two. Yeah, that sounds about right. So welcome to Phoenix being held hostage by a lousy product that has been delivered on the basketball court. We can't talk playoffs. Welcome to the Diamond. We'll get into the Diamondbacks in a minute. We have Pedro with us today. We're very excited to have Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst and insider, one of the best in the business when talking about the Diamondbacks or any other team. It is not sugarcoated. It is not put over in the side and said, well, we really can't touch this or that. It's easy to do when the team is winning like they did again last night. I saw Avengers yesterday. So I'm going to tell you who dies as the show progresses. Every break, I'm going to come out and say, this character, gone. This character, gone. So if you're not into spoilers, because we have Bill on tomorrow, I'm just going to drop that there's at least a dozen people that die in this movie. People. It's like my son is going to go see it on Friday and with my wife. And they both were going crazy that I went yesterday. I had a screening yesterday. I took my daughter. I was too well to attend. It was her birthday. Guys, you're going to have days where you're too well to attend work. I don't have them very often, but I decided to have one yesterday. And it was a great experience because I'm at Avengers. And there's characters dying all over the place. There's blood everywhere. It's like Rambo on the Avengers. So I don't know how much of a spoiler I'm going to give you. If you don't want to watch because you're into the Avengers like that, that's your problem. You probably already know who's died by going online and going into chat rooms. The Red for Ed movement is right in my wheelhouse today. The AIA has weighed in on what will happen if you do not play in the Red for Ed day tomorrow. I am probably going to go march. No, I'm not probably. I'm going to go march tomorrow morning at my son's junior high school. I am going to be out there tomorrow morning before I come here. In fact, I even thought about doing the show from out there tomorrow. I mean, I've got a hotspot. Can stream it on in. Thought about just going, sitting out on the corner and talking to teachers and coaches. Yes, tomorrow is the NFL draft. It is a huge day in sports. I understand that. But guess what? Our kids are bigger than that. So when there's 800,000 people that are impacted tomorrow in our own state, I'm thinking the NFL draft is going to get some play. I'm going to talk about it. But it's not nearly as big a deal as Red for Ed. Just not. In the backlash of people ripping on these teachers for wanting to stand up for them being underpaid, of course there's some of those who don't get it. And the people that I've run into that have been going after the teachers don't have kids. Shocking.
I don't understand it. This is very selfish.
How many kids do you have?
I don't have any.
Really? Okay, you don't matter to me.
Oh, well, I have a voice. What do you mean you don't matter?
You don't matter. You're not there. You've never been there.
Our taxes for these schools.
Move. Get out. It's fine. Life's too short. You know, go to Gila Bend. Nice people in Gila Bend, all 20 of them. Go to South Kingman. I don't know. But when I hear people that want to rip on teachers, hey, what are you talking about? You have no concept. If you don't have kids, you don't have a voice.
I'm not going to pay for a new school. I was taking milk off my table, red for red.
All right. On the sports front, it's brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, your family. Yeah, kids. Do you have your life insurance in place if something were to happen to you tomorrow? And if you thought about the benefits of life insurance, you better log on and get all that information. You can get it for free right now. Log on, SagicorNow.com. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. The inside the confidential NFL meetings that the NFL, I love this story. I'm going to start with the NFL today because there's two big stories that are going on while we're on the air. The New York Times is releasing all these audio recordings today of Roger Goodell's confidential meeting about the anthem protests. It's being released right now. This isn't good for the NFL the day before the NFL draft. Let's make sure, this is from Roger Goodell. Front page, New York Times. Inside the confidential NFL meeting to discuss national anthem protests. Let's make sure that we keep this confidential. New York Times obtained audio recordings of the meeting. That is awesome. That is awesome. First thing, let's keep this confidential. Up, New York Times front page. A commissioner, there's a call on line one. It's PR. We got a problem. Confidential meetings on the front page of the New York Times. So, you know, the anthem protests continue on, and Colin Kaepernick continues to go without a job. And now Eric Wright, the safety from San Francisco, is right in the middle of that. He's a free agent. He's not getting a sniff, even though he's very good. Eric Reed, I should say. There's that story today. The draft, so Cleveland is sitting there, and because it's Cleveland, if you've been a Browns fan for any amount of time, you know this, they're probably going to screw it up tomorrow. You would think having the number one overall pick, they couldn't screw it up. But because it's Cleveland, you have the number one and number four pick. There's actually been a scenario. I was talking to an agent yesterday, and I said, so what do you think is going to happen at the top? And this is a long-running agent in the NFL. He said, what would you think if the Browns used both picks on quarterbacks and then just held everybody hostage? That's not that crazy. That's one scenario that's floating around out there 24 hours before the draft takes place. What if they did take Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen? Do you think all the other teams would say, oh, we're not doing business with you? Well, who's got the advantage? I got the quarterback that you want, and you weren't in position to get him. I wrote this about a week ago that the Cardinals, in my view, have so many holes that it would be in their best interests to trade down on one hand. On the other hand, if we're just simply talking business and Michael likes being on the front of pages of newspapers and fronts of sportscasts in front of mine, there's nothing wrong with that. He's just a businessman. To me, it seems pretty, if there's a quarterback that's taken the Cardinals trade up, then it's Michael. It's Michael that's pushing that. I know that he and Steve are lockstep and all that, but I feel as though because the team has missed the playoffs the last couple of years, that Michael is at some point going to start to be in a space where he's going to say, you know, this is what we're going to do. I think that that day is going to start to arrive. It may be here this year. If they trade all the way up, Michael's got to have a say in it. If they sit tight, I'm sure Michael's got a say in it, but it's more or less, hey, Steve, do what you think is right. I still have faith in Steve Keim. There's people that don't. And, man, this is a business where you're going to miss a lot. You're going to strike out in baseball. It doesn't mean you're not any good. You're just going to strike out. It's going to happen. So the football side of things really leads again today, but the reforming of college basketball and the idea that in 2020, high school kids are going to be able to turn pro has been discussed this morning. Condoleezza Rice, whole college basketball committee, we've been telling you that this forum was coming. This morning she delivered. It is the front story as well. We'll get into that in about 15 minutes after we have Pedro Gomez. And Pedro is next. I'm going to break early because I want some extra time with Pedro. On just how good can this team be that we are seeing? I know that's a pretty open-ended question. But what is the weakness of the Diamondbacks? Is this just simply a team off to a quick start? Is this sustainable? as tonight is a great matchup. You have Greinke and Arrieta. In fact, next Monday night is Greinke Kershaw at the big ballpark. I'm thinking about going. That's next Monday night. But tonight it's Arrieta and Greinke. It's awesome. Back with Pedro Gomez. That is next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. We'll have Talk to the Lopes today at 11 o'clock as well. Every Wednesday we talk GCU Athletics. We'll talk about the women's golf program. That's today at 11. Back with Pedro after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Tonight, our Brad Sussmat Football AZ show is on Following the Diamondbacks at Philadelphia. Pedro Gomez is with us now, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. How are you?
I am doing great, Brad. Thank you for asking. Yeah. Complete 180 from a few weeks ago.
That is good. That is good to hear. Where are you today?
I'm actually here at home today. I'll probably be flying out over the weekend. But looks like I might be going to Southern California. But I'm here right now, and man, amazed at what the Diamondbacks are doing.
Okay, let me follow up, and then I'll get over the Diamondbacks. And that is, you're going to Southern California for Ohtani, I would have to believe.
That is a very good guess on your part.
Yeah, is ESPN not wanted out there that you're going to go cover Ohtani? I mean, it's what is
it? No. It's absolutely not some trade secret. No. It's just, you know, he's generating a lot of movement, and there's a lot of interest. And anytime we do anything with him, the numbers indicate that there's a lot of response from fans. So, Yep. You know, you go to where the story is.
He last night he touched, for those who aren't aware, it was 5-6 times last night he touched north of 101 miles per hour on pitches.
Yes, and against the World Series champs in Houston. So, you know, he's look, I saw him the week before when he did not look good at all a week ago Tuesday against the Red Sox.
Right.
And left after two innings but complained of a blister on his middle finger. But he just didn't look sharp from the beginning. And these are things that young pitchers always go through. There's ups and downs. They're not always going to be at the top of their game, and that's why it takes time and why veteran pitchers you can rely on more, because there's more on track record. But boy, he definitely looks like he could be a guy for years to come. And at some point, they may have to make a decision. Do you play offense? Do you pitch? If it ever comes to that, I got to believe that the Angels would say, we want you to pitch.
Yeah. I mean, because he's touching 102 and we're in April.
Yeah, the biggest problem is that he can only pitch once a week, which is what he was accustomed to throughout his life in Japan, because that is the rotations Right. That they use in the Japanese leagues, is you go once a week. It's kind of like college, where you're, you know, college over here, where you're the Friday night starter or the Saturday night starter. And that's the system. So the Angels are accommodating him, but at some point, you got to believe that that's not going to continue, and they're going to probably try to wedge him into a five-man rotation, the more traditional. But for now, they're willing to accommodate him. And that was part of the recruiting process of all the teams that went after him, is that, hey, we will do this for you. And the Angels are holding up their end of the bargain to date.
So this may be too much inside baseball, as we're talking with Pedro Gomez, but when you say that there is movement, that means Pedro's talking about ratings and clicks and all of that stuff. Is there more interest in Ohtani than Stanton and Judge combined with the Yankees right now?
Well, the Yankees, anybody with the Yankees always gets a lot of attention.
Sure.
They still move the needle more than any club in baseball, ratings-wise, clicks-wise, interest-wise. So, no, it's not at that level. Plus, the fact that Ohtani plays, you know, for the Angels, which means the majority of his games start at 10 p.m. Eastern time. That hurts, but there's definitely interest. There's intrigue more than anything with Ohtani. But no, Judge and Stanton move the needle more because they are playing in pinstripes
Right. In
the largest media market in the country with the largest population in the country.
I'm going to switch gears for over on the Diamondbacks, Pedro, and that is over to Bryce Harper, only because I've already started to see stories, and they're borderline clickbait, of here's 10 teams that Bryce Harper could land on next year. I'm going to bring this up from the Diamondbacks' point of view. So the Diamondbacks, when the Waste Management Open was being played in January, there was a strong rumbling and rumor that there was a push here locally from some business people to have Bryce Harper play in the Pro-Am. At the last minute, it didn't happen. I never talked about it. Now I can talk about it. There's people here that believe that because of his faith, and he's been in Las Vegas most of his life, that Arizona should not be crossed off a list for Bryce Harper. I'm not asking you for the list today, but if you're looking at the landscape, is Arizona even going to be in the conversation for him or not, from what you're hearing?
I would say no, absolutely not. And one of the biggest reasons is the fact that when you look at the list of players that the D-backs have had over the course of the last, let's say, decade, there aren't a lot of Scott Boras clients on that list.
Got it.
And that always comes into play because an owner has to have a certain relationship with Scott Boras to get to land some of his clients. And that relationship isn't there for the most part. So for that reason, I would say highly doubtful. The other being financially, you've still got $34 million a year tied up in Zach Greinke and tying up another $30 to $35 million a year in another player would put you at over $70 million for two players. And if your payroll, even if it goes up to $150 million, that does not leave a lot of room for the rest of your roster. So I can't for the life of me imagine that the D-backs are a serious contender for Bryce Harper.
Got it. Just had to ask. On the Diamondback side of things, obviously best start in the National League, pretty amazing what they've been able to do, especially when you consider Souza hasn't been around, Lamb hasn't been around, their catchers until last night haven't done much of anything offensively. You know, what do you make out of this big broad stroke question of what's going on here, and is this sustainable?
I think that it is sustainable if they keep up the two of the three facets of the game that they have really excelled in, and that's pitching the ball and catching the ball, because they've only made seven.
Oh, we lost.
So if you're catching the ball, you're eliminating, you know, if you can keep the opposition to 27 outs rather than 28, 29 or 30, that is huge. And then you've got a team ERA of 2.80. So if you can pitch and you can catch the ball, you can always be in contention. And I, to that amazing run the Braves had from 92 to 2005, where they went to the playoffs 14 straight years, they weren't known as an offensive team at all. Mm-hmm. They were just known for their pitching and their defense. And so if you can do those two things, that doesn't necessarily mean you could be successful in October, but you can get to October if you can pitch and play defense. And those are the two big facets of the game right now that the Diamondbacks are excelling in. If they can keep that up, absolutely anything can happen.
Yeah, I was hearing, I think it was Tom Candiotti on the radio side, talk about how they're 10th in the National League in hitting. And I was surprised that that number wasn't better given the start that they've had. But
yeah, but they're second in team ERA and they're second in errors committed, fewest errors committed.
And if it came down to clutch hits, you'd have to say the Diamondbacks would be near the top from what I've seen so far this year.
I think in high leverage situations, they've done very well. Yeah. You know, and I'm just going off the top of my head, just off of what I've seen. But
right.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you have Jeff Mathis coming through in extra innings, you know, a guy who hit about 198 last year, you'd have to say that absolutely the high leverage clutch situations they are excelling at. And that, you know, you don't get to be 16-6 at this point after 22 games without having some late innings magic happen, and they've certainly had that.
Okay, one last question, and I'll let you go, and that is this. On Greinke, he's throwing tonight. His ERA is north of 4. Next Monday night is Kershaw Greinke at the ballpark, unless there's rainouts or things along those lines, but it's Kershaw and Greinke. The fact that they are in first place, they're playing so well, and Greinke has not been Greinke like we're used to seeing, and the payroll number. There's no way that Hazen would mess around or ownership would mess around with the rotation and finding a way to part with Greinke, even though it's probably the best and smartest business move long-term for the organization, right?
Look, Hazen's his own man, and I think he has had a lot of success in a short amount of time, and he has already built up a lot of credit in his bank account with Ken Kendrick. I think if he were to come to Ken Kendrick and say, look, this is a move we can make right now, and I think we should seriously contemplate it, because Kendrick has to sign off on any Greinke-related move,
sure.
Because there's going to be money that has to be eaten. I think that Hazen will look at it objectively, I should say, openly, and say, if this makes us better in the near future, we have to seriously consider it. And the reality is that, look, despite Greinke going 17-7 last year, he only beat winning ball clubs in 6 of those 17 wins. Mm. So it's not like you're looking at a lockdown ace who is beating everybody in sight. He beats a lot of teams that are losing record type clubs, and he doesn't do as well against the better ball clubs. Now, there aren't as many good clubs in the National League, so it's easy to see why he's faring so well against poor teams, because there are a lot of poor teams.
Right.
But I do think that Hazen's built up credit so far, and Kendrick would listen.
Is there anything to that I'm asking you about? Are you hearing?
You know,
are you considering
it's a little
it yourself?
Early.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little early. No, not at this stage. I think that's the type of thing where if a big money club suffers a serious injury or they're going to lose somebody for long term in June or so, then I think those type of talks ramp up. But I think the Diamondbacks would be open to anything.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Hey, I'm glad you're feeling well, and safe travels. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Take care, Brad.
Always good to catch up with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst and insider and Valley resident. Ahwatukee guy. If you missed it and you're wondering about the health stuff with Pedro, I mean, he had some heart stuff, and we talked about it openly 2 weeks ago. When I say stuff, a week long in the hospital, and it's great to hear him back and getting back after it. So today, Condoleezza Rice is in the news cycle, and college basketball is what she is talking about. I'm going to address that on the other side. The NBA playoffs are so compelling. We'll get into that, too. And, of course, the draft is tomorrow. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So tomorrow's the NFL draft. The basketball playoffs continue on. They are very compelling. But while everything is focused on the NFL draft, I do think that there's some stories that I like to look at that I know there's interest in. And talk about them like what happened about 2 hours ago. 2 hours ago, Condoleezza Rice presented the Commission on College Basketball's findings and suggestions. She did this today. This happened in Indianapolis. There's been this committee formed that has said, we have a system that is broken in college basketball. If you're a U of A basketball fan, not only does your team lose every year in March Madness and you never make it to the finals, even though you tell me how great your team is, even though you probably are going to have the number one overall pick in the draft this year in DeAndre Ayton, and you have all these guys that are one and dones. And there is the issue, the one and dones. U of A has made a living off of one and dones. And today what happened, the one and dones are going to go away. The NBA has to weigh in on the next step, but the NBA has realized that one and dones are bad. Sean Miller and the U of A have taken the approach, no, they're great. We're going to win national championships. No, you don't win a thing. And a kid just rolls through for 6 or 8 months and then he's gone. So I don't know what this is going to do to your beloved basketball program in Tucson. I don't. I just feel as though that we're in this space, even today, in watching some of what Condoleezza Rice had to say. She used a quote today describing the current hoops climate as a circular firing squad, where the problem is always someone else's. Okay, a circular firing squad. I'm not going to say she has it all figured out and has it all right, but I do like the fact that it is someone who has been involved in athletics. Condoleezza Rice was part of the College Football Playoff Committee. She has shown an interest in what's going on in college athletics. This doesn't all come down to shoe contracts and how much money Adidas is going to pay a school or Nike is going to pay a school. Now we're just going to go about our merry way, and there's going to be kids that I walk into in a locker room, and they have no interest in being in college at all. They have every interest in getting mine. I've heard that one before in a locker room in the college end. I've even heard it at the high school end. We lost by 30, but I got mine. Great. There's the door. See you later. There is this issue within college basketball that is gross, that is seedy, that you do need a shower, but it usually starts with club ball. Unfortunately, I'm in that space again in basketball. Guys that all talk a good game, they're seventh, eighth grade coaches, high school coaches, and they've got the 3 and 4 cell phones. And somehow, some way, they Father Flanagan kids into thinking that they've got this, you know, we really care about you. And some of them do. Some of them really do. Then they have this whole separate lifestyle and separate bank account, and that's all it is. And they direct kids to do this and that, and there's payments made to parents, and parents are hired to do this or do that. A mom who has a very talented high school basketball son somehow finds a way to be hired as a receptionist at an insurance company who happens to be tied to the head coach of said program. It happens all the time. And it doesn't even happen just on the college end. It happens on the high school end. I'm not sitting here blowing whistles today. It's just what happened at U of A, what happened at USC, what happened around college basketball with the assistant coaches and cash payments to players, or allegedly cash payment to players, or some players bailing out on the recruiting process. How many 5-star guys, if you're one of those that goes off of stars, has U of A landed here in this open recruiting period? Exactly zero. Okay. Now, they've landed some guys, but it's not like it used to be. Things are changing. Quite frankly, I'm surprised Sean is still the coach down there, but that's just me. So eliminating the one-and-done high school, or the one-and-done player who will now probably go to the G League or go to a prep school. There's still that they can do. But the reports today are now that high school players are going to be eligible to enter the NBA draft by 2020, that it will not be done by next year. But the findings here today, the biggest problem is that almost there's no jurisdiction that you see over what's going on in the college game. So what if Condoleezza Rice's and committee's first lines today was fire coaches or assistant coaches who aren't good to the game? That sounds very easy to accomplish, but it's not. How do you prove this? Certifying agents, penalizing non-certified ones, forcing shoe companies to behave transparently with youth basketball, all the things that have landed college basketball in the FBI's lap. All of that was brought up today. The letters FBI, you don't mess around. So, is it going to help the NBA? You know, somebody like Jerry Colangelo, I'm going to have Jerry on here in the next few weeks because we have to have a conversation. He's got to be involved in this because of USA Basketball. So we don't have a player. We may have a player. Jordan, do you think it's fair to say Nico Mannion could be a player that Nico Mannion's at Pinnacle High School. He is a sophomore. He was offered the other night by Villanova. But have you seen Nico enough to know that he could be a guy that could jump, because he would be the first-year guy that could jump into the NBA under what was proposed today? Is he that good?
If there's anybody in the state that is, it would be Nico Mannion.
Okay. And he's been offered by everybody.
Yeah.
From your view,
yeah, every
he
big
just
time
walks
program.
In. He controls everything when he walks in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he ready for it? Have you visited with him enough to know, is he ready to be flying around on planes, trains, and automobiles with guys that are 10 years older than him getting paid big money? Do you know that?
That's tough to say because he also just wrapped up his sophomore year. So we'll see how...
His dad played in the league, Pace Mannion.
Yeah. Right? But you mature a lot those next 2 years of high school. So he carries himself very well. He, you know... I think is genuine, but also says all the right things and has the right attitude. So I don't see any red flags, but that's also a huge jump from high school to the pros.
Sure, sure. It's there's going to be the next, if you think about it, guys, the top two picks in the draft this year were both here in high school. Both here in high school 2 years ago, right here in Phoenix. Both of them, Ayton and Bagley. People are like, why do you pay so much attention to high school? Guys, when you see them early and you know and you can talk about them and you, I've seen Nico play 3-4 times. I've never gone up and visited with him, but I've seen him play and I think he's a hell of a player. He's one of the best guards I've seen roll through. But I've also seen guys that rolled through that you looked at and said, wow, Alex Barcelo can flat play. Alex didn't play very much this year at U of A. Okay, yeah, for many reasons. So you don't know if a kid, just because he's tearing it up in high school, and if the NBA is going to allow and say, we are going to let seniors in high school turn pro and be in the draft rather than this ridiculous one-and-done rule. Beyond that, it's where does the shoe company come down in all of this? The likeness, the licensing, the jersey sales. What about that player who goes on to college? None of that was addressed today from what I read. You know, none of that stuff. And is that the most important paying players? Should that be at the top number one item on the list? Probably should have that. Probably should have that up top. The idea that James Harden, when he was at Arizona State, could not see one red cent dime off of his jersey hanging in the team shop, to me, just seems flat wrong. It does. Now, if you're going to make it 20-year-olds that can jump into the league, what do you do on the college end of things? If you're a junior and you're turning 20, or you're a senior and you're 21, and you decided, you know what, it's more important for me to stay here at school, get my degree, rather than enter the draft, is part of what you're sacrificing that jersey that is sitting there being sold in the team shop while you're out spilling your blood and your sweat for the team? Wow, they're getting a paid education. Yeah, they're getting a paid education, but you're not allowing these kids to hold down a job while they're being eligible to play college athletics. So the idea of a kid not being able to buy a jacket or a coat, you've heard this through the years, and so an alum gives them money. Let's just get rid of that. If you have a good idea and you're 17, you're 18, you're 19, or if you have a brand that is that strong, if you're the university and you want to bring in a player that is going to move the needle in terms of revenue generation off the court, TV ratings, everything that goes along with it, why shouldn't they see some money? Why shouldn't they? We're stuck in this box of, well, this is how it's always been. No, that's why I'm happy that today was at least a step forward. There are people in this room today that just aren't going to say, and from my view, well, we're going to suggest all this stuff and it'll never happen again. We'll build the field house later. Yeah, we'll build the field house on the third ballot or when you're not even here anymore. I've heard that stuff used. On the other side, Red for Ed. It does impact kids tomorrow on the athletic side of things through the AIA. I'll explain that next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So tomorrow, the biggest story going in our state is not going to be the NFL draft and the Arizona Cardinals. You may want it to be, but it's not going to be. Tomorrow, the biggest story is going to be Red for Ed. The Cardinals are still important. The draft's still important. But anything that involves our kids in our community is far more important. There's going to be about 800,000 people tomorrow that are going to be impacted by this across our state. I'm going to be out there tomorrow morning at the school that my son goes to. My son is supposed to be in a track meet tomorrow afternoon, but his coach told him yesterday and told the team yesterday, you know, we're going to cancel the track meet. So the track meet's already been canceled. And one of the coaches said, we still may have practice late in the day because I don't want you guys to fall behind. Let's take this to the high school level. My son's in junior high. The high school level, the AIA has announced, the Arizona Interscholastic Association, has told districts it's up to them whether they play, but canceled games won't be included in rankings. That means teams won't have the chance to move up or move down. So if a teacher decides tomorrow who's the volleyball coach, the baseball and softball brackets are supposed to be released tomorrow. We don't know how long this is going to go on. If games are not played, they're forfeits. So how long is this going to go on, and where will coaches take a stand when it comes to the games that they and the teams that they are coaching? Is that any different than the math or the English teacher? If you're all in, okay, if you're the teacher that's all in, then and you're teaching on campus, then how could you in good faith walk away from the side of I'm out here walking, but when it comes practice this afternoon, I'm going to walk back across the line and then coach? Is that a message that you shouldn't be sending? Either you're all in or you're not. Then there comes the side of, well, what about these kids? What if you're the volleyball kid? Because volleyball is going on in high school right now. I don't have a dog in the fight, but I've been a high school volleyball dad before. It's a spring sport. If you're a volleyball kid and you were supposed to play in your match and there were colleges that were showing up to watch you tomorrow, but your match has been canceled because of the red for Ed, does that hurt you in your college recruitment? It's a very fair question to ask, in my opinion. If you're one of those teams that's sitting there and you have the number one seed, but you have to forfeit and you may drop down out of being the number one seed and now you have to go on the road, does that impact your team and long-term success? There is a collateral damage to what's going on tomorrow. I understand what teachers are trying to do. I believe in what teachers are trying to do and the message that they are going to send. I've had four kids go through the Arizona public school system. I'm a public school believer, always have been. I went to private school when I was in junior high school. It was a disaster for me. I had no business being in a public or a private high school, none. Tight classes, dress code, all that nonsense. It doesn't mean it's not that way for everybody. Everybody can go about it differently. But for me, it just wasn't a fit. When I see the amount of hours, when I see a coach that's there, it's 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning at 0 hour, and he's teaching or she's teaching, and they're there that night still coaching and teaching. And I know that what they are making, comparatively speaking, is not that great in the impact that they're having on people's lives. When I know the fourth grade teacher that's spending her own money to go to the places to buy the supplies for her school because she doesn't have them, it's not just one. Yeah, they deserve an increase. Sure they do. They deserve a better way to be treated. Absolutely. But there does come a point, doesn't there? Is there a magic number that is out there that you say, you know, this is pretty darn good. You got your point across. And beyond that, it's where do you draw the line with coaches and sports? And is this going to be something that drags on? Baseball, softball playoffs start. Red for Ed continues on. Playoffs get canceled. Seasons that kids put their hard work, and those coaches too, put their hard work and their hard time in on. And all of a sudden, you forfeit, you're out of the playoffs. So if you're going to walk tomorrow, do you just come right back at it when it's your first game? That's not going to sit well with your constituents, probably. So there's that that's going on, too. It's going to be very interesting tomorrow. And, of course, the draft will be tomorrow, too. Thanks for being with us. Tonight, our TV show is on Fox Sports Arizona right after the Diamondbacks and Phillies game, 16 airings per week. We appreciate the partnership with them. We are self-funded. That means those commercials that you see, those are people that believe in what we are doing and say, we want to partner with you. So please support them as they've been with us for 6.5 years now. Jordan Hamm is our chairman of the board today, or actually our producer today for Eric. Big Edwin is our chairman of the board today. And Justin Toscano was our contributor too. I'm Brad Sussmat. Have a good day. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every Wednesday, we talk Grand Canyon University athletics. Always great to have on all the coaches, the players, the administrators, everything around GCU. We do it every Wednesday here on sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Appreciate the audiences on both sides. And of course, our television show unrelated to Talk to the Lopes, but if you want to check it out, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings throughout the week across the country and around the world on DirecTV and more. We're going to switch over to the ladies' golf side. Lauren Gasecki is with us. She is GCU Women's Golf Head Coach. The Lopes have won two consecutive tournaments, winning in Goodyear, following that up with a WAC win. The first wins under Coach Gasecki. She joins us. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, Coach. I can read through everything here, but I'm wanting to hear from you. How has everything gone in the growth of the program? I know with the NCAA regionals, you're eligible because of the transition rules. So you're in. There's a lot going on.
There is. Yeah, this week has been, well, the past 2 weeks, I guess, have been pretty crazy for us. But we're just so excited. It's all coming together. All the hard work, all the practice times, workouts, traveling schedules, all that kind of stuff, it all came together. And, you know, the team really got it done the past 2 weeks. So I'm just so proud of them.
Tell me about the growth curve of putting the program in place. I can go back to even before President Mueller took me around the golf course that was being built. And this is the vision for golf. We want golf to be a big time sport like all of our sports. Just tell me about the growth and progression of the women's golf program at GCU.
It's been pretty good. On my interview, I was actually kind of taken around the golf course, and it was all mud. I had no idea what it was going to look like. But Dean, our superintendent, was trying to tell me, you know, this is hole one, and this is where the golf course, you know, pro shop is going to be. And it's just crazy to think back. You know, that was 3 years ago now, and just how far we've come in such a short amount of time. And, you know, I owe it all to our players. It's been fun recruiting to GCU. It's been, you know, pretty well for us, actually, you know, with the growth of the university, our new golf course, the 10-2 initiative, you know, all those things combined really helped us in our recruiting plan. But you know, just having those girls that are really going to buy into our program and buy into that vision of where we're going and how we're going to get there, you know, and they did. Every single member of this team did that. And I think that's what helped us in such a short amount of time.
Well, and you have a young group, too, from what I can see, right? Just one senior, and you've got a couple of freshmen, a couple of sophomores. So you've built the base. Just tell me about how you've built it and what has been the message when you walk into a home of a potential player to come to GCU and how you spread that vision.
Definitely. Deanna, our senior, has had a lot to do with that. She's been our rock. The first day I got here, all the way up until now, I mean, she's asked probably 20 questions a day. How do I get better? Can you line me up? Can we talk about this? Can we do this? And, you know, without that kind of leadership, I don't think we would be here where we are. The freshmen, the sophomores, we have a few juniors as well. You know, they really, really bought into that. And I think they kind of just latched on and just followed her example.
And she's a top 100 player, right?
She is, yeah. So, you know, and she's earned it, 100% earned that. You know, she's probably one of the hardest working kind of perfectionists that I've worked with in the golf world. But, you know, without her, it would have been probably a lot harder than it's been. But, you know, having those freshmen, the sophomores come in, they have the same attitude. They want to work hard and they want to win. So, you know, those combined just kind of equal a good program, and it makes our jobs fun, Kelly and I. So, you know, we enjoy it, they enjoy it, and I think it really helps with our team chemistry as well.
Lauren Gasecki is with us this week, GCU Women's Golf, as we go on Talk to the Lopes every Wednesday here on Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. When you have a player that is a top 100 and you're trying to go build and find those newbies to come in that are now sophomores coming through their freshman year, take me through a recruiting process of how early do you identify recruits? Because every sport's different, Coach. It may be you know the eighth grader that's coming along in Maricopa County, or it may be the eighth grader that's coming along in Belfast, Ireland. I don't know. What is your strategy locally, globally, in recruitment to GCU?
We pretty much have the same strategy. You know, any talented golfer that we think would fit the vision of GCU, we're going to go after. So Not only do we want a very talented golfer, obviously, but we want somebody who's going to enjoy GCU and has the same, you know, work ethics as us and, you know, just vision of where this program could go. So really, we recruit pretty much anyone we can that fits that description, yeah. No matter the age. You know, unfortunately, I think a lot of sports are getting to be that way, where if you're not connecting with them when they're seventh, eighth graders, you know, you're kind of out of the loop already. But we really try to keep an eye on them as much as possible. You know, obviously things change over the years, but, you know, typically we go for the ones that'll fit our vision and our program.
It's interesting. About 3 weeks ago, the AJGA was in town and I was asked to go play in it. And I'm not very good. I mean, my handicap is showing up, right? And I'm 6 feet eight with a club in my hand. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm using it as a pickaxe. But I was able to be, and I love doing it every year. I play in that event every year. I was matched up with a player who's here in the Valley who's going to go on to Stanford. And, you know, she just gets right up and bombs it and does her thing. And I was talking to her about recruitment, and she said, you know, there's so many different places for golfers to go now that the experience factor, it's not just the golf course, it's her major. She mm-hmm. also was looking at Northwestern, so on and so forth. So long preamble to this question, and that is, when you do go identify that golfer, and that golfer does have all these options, what is the selling point that sets GCU apart from your point of view?
I think we have a few. Yeah, I was telling, it's kind of funny, on the van ride back to campus from conference, our freshman was like, "Coach, you know, what you sold me on to come GCU, it actually came true." And she was like, "You told me in your office, if you do come here, you're going to help us write history." Mm. And I was like, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're in a unique position where this is our first year, being able to compete and going postseason. And we accomplished our goal. We won conference and we're going to postseason, but we want to keep it going. So we want to be those programs that win 15, 16 in a row and, you know, become one of those powerhouses for Arizona. So that's typically where we go on the selling point. And, you know, as a coaching staff, I think we try to incorporate as much fun and learning as we can. You know, we're, I think, a little bit of a younger duo here at GCU, but we use that to our advantage. We enjoy our time with the student athletes and, you know, we go to their graduations and we go to, you know, family dinners and things like that. So just being a part of that family atmosphere is kind of what we shoot for as well. You know, some programs, unfortunately, kind of treat, you know, the whole student athlete kind of program maybe as just numbers, but right. We really want that family feeling. And, you know, when we run into each other on campus or go to chapel together or things like that, that's what we really shoot for at GCU.
Have you taken Dan Marley out on the course yet and schooled him? He's not very good.
He is very talented, Dan's my partner. So
I know. I can give Dan a hard time.
We had a few competitions, and coming out of the 17th, 18th hole, I think we need to work on that with Dan. But
yeah,
no, he's a very, very talented player.
Yeah, and President Mueller plays quite a bit too, and of course his son has a great spot over there too. So, you've got competition all around you, is what I'm getting at, Coach. It's the administration looking down, or other coaches. Nothing wrong with that.
No, it makes it fun for us, so we enjoy it.
Before you get out of here, so in all seriousness, when you're scheduling and you're going through the WAC, and this is a very naive question on my part, but I've been asked it, how does it work for GCU going outside of Phoenix to these courses within the conference? Meaning, are they as nice as GCU's? Because your course is just awesome, right? So can you help me out on that? How colorful, I guess, is it around the conference for golf and the courses that you play on?
I think it stacks up as one of the best. It's not the best, actually. We're in a very lucky position that we have a home course. I think a lot of the conference schools, they don't necessarily have a campus golf course. So mm-hmm. they'll go out and, you know, play at a country club that's nearby or things like that. But we actually have that home base which is so cool for us. You know, you walk in the pro shop, you see the men's and women's pictures. We have our place upstairs. So it's just a unique opportunity. And I think a lot of teams are noticing how good the golf course is. We host in February every year. And this year, I think there's, we're going to have to turn some teams down that want to play in our event. So
that's cool.
I think word's getting out that it's a really good golf course. And we're seeing that.
Well, good stuff. I appreciate you jumping on board and visiting and having some fun for a few minutes. Thanks for being on Talk to the Lopes.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
There you go. There's Lauren Gasecki, the GCU Women's Golf Head Coach. And that is Talk to the Lopes for this week.